Edley's Barbecue is excited to announce they're planning to open their East Nashville location on Monday, June 1st. It's been tough to get through tornado damage and the pandemic, but they're getting back into the swing of things at their East Nashville location very soon. Edley's is actively hiring for this location as well as their other spots. If you're interested in joining the Edley's Barbecue family, Will and Catherine, the owners, awesome. Visit edleysbbq.com/jobs or visit their Sylvan Park location this week to apply in person.
Coming up on the Midday 180, Titans Free Agent Edition, Jonathan Joseph, Greg Cosell of NFL Films, Doug Matthews talks balls and SEC football, and Eddie George joins us in 15 minutes. The Wednesday edition of the Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone, alongside Paul Kuharski in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro, and we begin the show, and it sounds like a windstorm in my headset. Paul, is that on your end?
Is that right? I don't know. I did just change the setting.
There you go. That's much better. Ready to go. Paul, good morning.
How are we doing? It's very windy in my house, apparently.
Paul, changing the settings. Reed, your thoughts on Paul changing settings during the pre-open.
That sounds about right. At least we didn't get
I'm ready when we go.
We didn't get our daily I can't hear you. I can't hear you guys. Yeah. What's wrong? Oh, my headset's not plugged in.
Hey, listen, I'm ready.
It's better. There was no Zoom last night for Paul. That's why. He has to change the setting.
Well, I unplugged and changed settings in order to play some of Javon through the computer and then record it onto my tape recorder. It's easier then for me to fast forward and rewind to transcribe a little bit of things off my tape recorder, which is my preferred method. The preferred method of PaulKuharski.com for listening and re-listening to Midday 180.
We've had a great week so far. No Chad Withrow, unfortunately. He's out on furlough. He'll be back with us next week. All of us will be back next week starting on Tuesday. So can't wait for that. And another great show planned today. We'll recap the lineup in a moment. The big news this morning locally, the Nashville Predators, the city of Nashville, I should say, the city of Nashville, interested in being a neutral site host should the NHL resume play. Gary Bettman said 8 or 9 locations are being looked at right now, and they'd like to welcome a dozen or so teams at each location and rotate around to finish the season and go into the postseason. Likely no fans, multiple games per day, but Butch Spiridon of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corp said, look, we're set up and ready for this. Practice facilities, arena, hotel within walking distance, and all of the sanitation issues have been thought out as well, plus multiple locker rooms that you could rotate within Bridgestone Arena. Nashville could be one of these neutral site teams, much like we're seeing the NBA consider Vegas and Orlando.
I'd read some NHL reviews that included lists of cities, 4 or 5, that sounded like it was reasonably well along, that did not include Nashville. So I wonder, you know, how far along it is. We'd ask Butch Spiridon to come on, but he hates me because I didn't like the cherry tree stuff down the waterfront downtown. So that's
he's probably refused to come on the show since then, right?
Yeah. I need to patch things up with him, but it's kind of ridiculous that I need to patch things up with him. It would be cool. It would help drive some downtown regeneration. But at the same time, you know, we'd have to know where the city stands on bringing in a bunch. And what's the timetable?
The city's telling us. This is from the city. This is from Butch Spiridon. This is not the Predators.
Well, as I've said before, and here I will dig a bigger hole with Butch. He is not the city.
He's speaking on behalf of the city.
Yeah. That's part of the problem. He can mask the mayor. He can act on behalf of the mayor, but he's not an elected official.
When the headline is Nashville wants to host games, that's not the Predators in that headline. That's the city itself.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. It'd be interesting to me how much, and in any of these cities, how much outside of a non-Predators game would do if and when they had fans in there, or to what degree they had fans in there. Are these empty? Are we presuming these are empty?
I'm presuming empty. It said likely without fans was the way it was termed from just the framework of what Bettman was telling league officials. But who knows? I doubt it. That's how I would answer that. But I think if you're able to go and get in the building and do that, you'd go watch back to a triple header or something on NBC all day. I know Reed would.
So you
fill up about some hotel.
About 10 days ago, the Predators sent out information about getting credit or refunds for game tickets unused. So that tells me that their plan is they're moving forward without fans.
Yeah. And that's the assumption here. But the leagues want to get back. And, you know, we wrapped up yesterday's show with the borders and the travel issues. You got to get the players back first. So the plan needs to unravel itself a bit right now so you can get the fans here, or not the fans, the players back here next month, and then potentially be ready to play in July. I mean, that's the calendar as we look at it right now.
And we need to do a broader segment, half hour on teams' eagerness generally. And I'm glad to hear that the Predators sent that out. And talking to people I know, it seems like teams in general, I'm not surprised by this, want to keep your money. They want to give you credit moving forward, particularly
like,
NFL.
Like
NFL still doesn't know. Yeah, Ticketmaster always wants to give you credit. These ticket agencies generally want to give you credit. I know Tennessee Tickets is refunding and has refunded people. But generally speaking, a lot of these places don't necessarily have the money to give you back. And that's an issue, I think, for people who have spent it. To me, if I've bought a ticket, I want it back. I say that tonight. You know, if everything was normal, I would be totally revved up to go to Nissan Stadium to see the Rolling Stones. And I haven't looked into my Rolling Stones money, which Ticketmaster's making interest on right now. And I am a huge Ticketmaster hater. The settlement of the class action lawsuit against Ticketmaster was one of the worst I could have envisioned. Nobody got their money's worth out of the quote unquote payback from Ticketmaster. And I'm writing it down on my list now. I've got to call the vet. I've got to call somebody with the NFL, and I've got to call Ticketmaster and see about that money, because it was pretty hefty. Rolling Stones tickets. And I hope they're back, and I hope I go to that show. But if it's 2 years off, they just get to sit on my money all that time.
You know who was the sometimes it's all about timing. Who falls in that category? You mentioning the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium reminds me that Justin Bieber had to cancel all of his stadium shows to move to arenas because he wasn't selling nearly as many tickets. And like 3 weeks later, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So
About coronavirus.
He could have used this. I mean, he's also being accused now in the world of music of buying the number one spot at billboard.com, which for his album releases and different things. And I'm sure that a lot of people have done this in the past. Where you put you get a ticket to a concert in exchange for buying the album, so it helps all album sales.
Yeah.
That's one of the stories too. But if you just sit and wait instead of announcing, like Kenny Chesney did this. Kenny Chesney attached his tickets to his concert for the summer tour to a new album, and the summer tour is not going to happen, but it helped his album sales, and that's why he was ahead of Drake. Drake is upset with him, because he didn't get the number one spot on his album release. But
those
Bieber
charts mean so little these days.
What's that?
Those charts mean so little these days compared to in our day when you were number one record when there was Tower Records and physical purchases. Now it's some calculation of streams and.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who his business is looking at ratings, charts mean everything to me. I mean, I think that's a competition for them. And that, I mean, Drake's not he's upset about it. I was reading about it this morning, one of the bottom stories at CNN.
It's all
drama.
About listening.
I need more of that drama in my life.
Simon's all about listening to, that top pop radio. And when Justin Bieber comes on there, he talks about how he sucks. And I say, well, I'm going to turn away. We can listen to this, but we're not going to endure songs that we both agree suck. And then I make fun of him. I say, you're a believer. You know it in the back of your head. And this is going to be, you're going to connect with a young lady who's also a believer. And that's how you're going to create a date to go roller skating. And he's like, you guys aren't driving me to some date to go roller skating. We're going to bike ride to the park or something. He's all about, we're not driving him to his first date. This is on the record for a 10-year-old. He hates it. And he's no believer. He wants that on the record.
Well, 25 years from now, I could very well see Simon Gucharski be the next Chad Withrow, where he's hosting a radio show admitting that he loved Justin Bieber the way that Chad loves Backstreet Boys.
Well, I guarantee you this one thing, and you may be right, but I guarantee you this one thing. His high school yearbook photo is not going to feature. And he may have a bad haircut, but it ain't going to be that bad.
Coming up on today's show, Doug Matthews joins us at 11:15. Plenty to discuss in the world of college football with some realignment that's being considered for the Sun Belt Conference USA just to keep their heads above water. And the non-Power 5 schools, they want to play less conference games and more bye games this year. The Power 5 may just need to schedule conference games if that's what all of this ends up being if we have to delay the season. Doug brings some thoughts on that at 11:15. Greg Cosell today, always appointment listening with Greg Cosell of NFL Films at 12:15. Our first chat with Jonathan Joseph as a show happens today at 1 o'clock, the recent signing for the Titans at cornerback, the 14-year vet, and primary complaint a little bit later at 1:20. But when we come back, number 27. Eddie George joins the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Always great when we have the chance during football season to chat with the Titans legend, number 27, Eddie George. And it's always great during the offseason to see his face. He's back with us today for the remainder of the hour. We're going to talk sports and non-sports issues for sure. But, Eddie, first and foremost, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you. It feels like I haven't seen you guys in, 10 years, it feels like?
I know.
I haven't been downtown at all. I haven't done anything other than working out of my garage and going to the golf course occasionally. And that's it, man. Just enjoying life. Glad to be alive. I mean, this has been challenging time for a lot of people, jobs and health and so forth. But it's also been a great opportunity to stay grounded, be with family members. My grandmother came up from Atlanta this week, who's 91. Just had a birthday this about a couple months ago, so I can spend time with her, spending time with my son, making sure that he's doing his work and he's turning in quality homework. No excuses. So it's been a very productive period as well. So it's been good, man.
How is your father doing? He had some underlying health issues and then had coronavirus, but it's good news.
Great news. About 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, was diagnosed with it. He's living in an assisted healthcare facility just outside of Philadelphia. And I guess someone from the inside or somebody from outside brought it in, obviously. He was quarantined for a while, was kept close contact with my uncle, who's watching over him pretty much. And, I just didn't know what to think of it because I know he's struggling with a lot of different health issues at this point. And I was praying that he would come through strong. But 2 weeks later, after the news, he was asking for a cheeseburger with quarter pounder with bacon So I said, okay, he's feeling pretty good now, and he's doing much better. He's out of the quarantine situation, and now he's getting ready to celebrate his 70th birthday this coming on Friday. So excited about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I was following this. You and I, we chatted briefly about it, but there were times where I would think about it and I would Google just to see what the latest news was, because I wanted to check on that. And
I appreciate it.
And it had to be I read where your father doesn't have a phone, or you couldn't contact him. How do you keep up with all the news?
Well, I had to call my uncle because he talks to him, and there's a direct line to my father. My father, he's an interesting man. When he doesn't want to be bothered, he'll take the phone off the hook. So it was a direct line to him. I kept getting direct line. I kept asking the nurses that they could, you know, pass me through to him. So finally they said, hey, just tell him to send a call and that I love him. Just give me a call when he can. So being there, it's been communicating back and forth with my family members.
Eddie George with us on the Midday 180. You've been doing everything during this quarantine time. Virtual DJ set was one of the things. You were part of the virtual draft party that they put on, and both were well received.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have nothing else to do. I organized my books in the back. I cleaned out my closet. I cleaned out the attic. Did a lot of different things during this quarantine period. So I don't mind jumping on with you guys doing this or doing the virtual DJ stuff. That's I love doing it. That's a hobby of mine I've done for well over 20 years. And any way I can help alleviate a little pain or some worry or just to enjoy life for a brief moment for about 2 hours, I'm willing to do that. So it's been cool, man. I've enjoyed allowing people to come into my world.
The DJ set was cool. It was you and C-Wiz, and you had I get the update on Instagram when someone goes live that I'm following, so I click on it, and I think you opened up with J-Lo. What did you close the set with?
Oh, actually, it was Flo Rida. I opened it with Flo Rida.
Okay.
And, oh, gosh, who did I close with? I don't know. I was all over the place. Played a little Flo Rida, played some classic 80s, played some 90s hip-hop. Just tried to appeal to everybody, play some Bob Marley. I try to go around the gamut, you know, because you never know who's watching. We had people from all over the world calling, and I'm like, man, people from Mexico were texting in, and from Europe, from all over. I didn't realize Titans fans were all over the place. I mean, it was really refreshing to see that. And I think overall we got about on the website almost 40,000 views. So it was pretty cool. So hopefully we can make it an annual thing. I guess they could hire me to be their DJ. It's crazy.
How did that idea? Sorry, how did that idea all come together, and how long did it take from idea to execution?
It all came from the Titans organization. Robbie gave me a call. He said, "Hey, you know, we're having this idea. We want to do something for our fans. We want to do something for the PSL holders. Maybe you can do a DJ set." And I said, "Well, I go downstairs almost every night, play music. Why not? Just let me find the right equipment and so forth." So it was real easy, Paul. The guys over there with their social media and so forth, they told me how to set it up. I linked onto their page and we just made a go at it. So hopefully we can do it again. But I think, but after, you know, coming out of this COVID stage, hopefully there's a bigger opportunity to play and involved with all of that.
Our listeners can't see right now, but if you watch the DJ set, we are not in Eddie's DJ area. It looks like we're in the wealth management area of Eddie's home right now.
Hey, you know what? That's right. My cards are right here.
Okay.
Jonathan. Exactly. That's exactly where we are.
So how many of those books behind you have you read? That is quite the library.
Yeah, that's a collection over a 20-year period. I've read absolutely none.
Okay.
It's all for design, all for looks, to make me look like, yeah, he's smart, but nah. I might have read I've read a couple of them.
Pull something random off.
Random? Want me to pull one out?
Yeah.
Let's see.
No, don't look. Random.
Just random. Okay.
He's standing to randomly choose one. What do you have?
This is for Paul, Richard III. This totally fits you. And
no fear. I can't no read fear. The rest of it. Read the
no
whole.
No fear. No fear, Shakespeare. Richard III. Yes. Random.
I can't think of a better choice for Eddie to pull off the wall there than Shakespeare.
All right.
Did that get you ready? Did that help get you ready to perform Shakespeare?
This one, no. I did a reading of this one. I did a reading with Stella Reed about 2.5 years ago with Nashville Shakes, and I played Richard III. Actually, this is a very fun character to try to delve into. He is on the surface evil and maniacal, but at the core of who he is, he has great ambition. He's loyal. He's a lot of the opposite of what you think. And I really enjoyed this. So, but for the most part, you know, to get ready for Shakespeare, Paul, you can never. You just have to delve in headfirst and hope for the best.
hold that up one more second.
Paul's getting the photo here.
Give me a photo.
Thanks.
This segment is an example of how the rest of the hour will go all over the place. We're going to talk Titans draft. We'll get Eddie's take on that. His guy, J.K. Dobbins, is now with the Baltimore Ravens. We need his thoughts with the Buckeye going to Baltimore. Some conflict of interest there for Eddie for sure. And Christian McCaffrey's deal that reset the running back market. Eddie has been bullish on Derrick Henry getting the massive contract. We will discuss that this hour and much more. Eddie George with us on the Midday 180. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue online, edleysbbq.com. With Paul Kuharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Eddie George with us. And during the break, I don't know, maybe Paul will give us permission to post this, maybe not. But he was praised for unloading the dishwasher at home this morning. A tremendous honor to see Teresa Kuharski give that praise to her husband.
Hey, Paul, your thoughts. By the looks of it, it looks like you might get a little bit more, you know.
Let's not get carried away.
You might get a little bit more, Paulie.
You have Paul and Teresa unloading the dishwasher. Meanwhile, Eddie and Taj have been doing like financial planning videos and services online during this quarantine. And based on the promotional aspect and just how it looks, it looks like a very well-run deal. Like is it every Saturday or Sunday that you've been doing this?
Well, we've been doing it every Saturday.
Okay.
It's through Essence Magazine and Chase Bank. Myself, my wife and I, and maybe two or three other couples, we talk about love and money. When do we first start talking about finances in our relationship? How does that play a role now? I just say, hey, I go out, I make the money, and I give it to my wife, you know, and everything that she wants to do, I try to reason with her, ration with her, and say, okay, if you want to get this purse, we can get it, but, you know, this is our long-term goals. But we give just sites our story on how we grew up, how we view finance, how we view money, and how we communicate with one another in terms of that. Because every household is different. Everybody grew up differently in terms of money. I don't know, you know, Jonathan, I don't know how you grew up. Have your parents ever talked to you about a bank account, a checking account, how to save, taxes and all of that? Well, that didn't necessarily happen for me growing up. This is stuff that I had to learn later on in my life when I got money. So big money and just different vehicles in terms of understanding the principles of compounding interest and looking at tax advantage products and all of that stuff. So I really had to embrace that in order to say, okay, to have generational wealth, these are the areas I need to focus on. And that's what we've been able to do. Do you want to share that with other young couples?
My dad is a CPA. He has a CPA, and he was a financial aid director for years before he retired. But it still doesn't mean I understand it, right? Like, you have the ability
to. It can be. It's Chinese. And
it is for me.
It is no disrespect, but it's very difficult to to get the terminology down and to match it, to see it. And you, I mean, you just have to breathe in it, live in it, read, constantly read financial books and listen to different podcasts, look at the current trends. I try to get a book from Warren Buffett's list every year, The Intelligent Investor, somewhere around here. That's one of my favorite books. And that's a book this thick that you know, I have to constantly go back and read time and time again, because you never get it on the first go around until you really start to look at it and try to figure out what works best for you.
Eddie George 2727 on Instagram if you're looking for more on that. Segue here, speaking of investing. The Titans, you say, should invest fully in Derrick Henry based on the contract that Christian McCaffrey received. Now, when we reviewed that on the show, a month ago now, whatever it was, we said, yeah, that's resetting the running back market, but Christian McCaffrey offers more than Derrick Henry based on the way they use him. Now, give your rebuttal as to why Derrick Henry should get Christian McCaffrey money.
Well, Christian McCaffrey is an exceptional running back. I said this a few weeks ago. He is like the Swiss Army knife of running backs, able to do so much for you. But for Derrick, he's the heart and soul of the Titans offense. Without him, they don't make that run. They don't come close to it. Because of his running ability in between the tackles. And you don't necessarily have to have 500 yards receiving, 1,000 yards receiving, and another 1,000 yards rushing to be successful. When you look at Christian McCaffrey, how did that equate to their wins and losses? I know a lot of factors go into it in terms of defense and all of this, but Derek, with this team on the brink of winning, we're playing for a Super Bowl. So you look at his total production and the fact that he's still young, doesn't have a lot of tread on the tire. He's just about to hit his stride in terms of his peak. Why not pay him that money in terms of that? I mean, from an organization standpoint, of course, you want to get him for as cheap as possible. But for what he means to the team and the heart and soul of the team and the success, the wins and losses of the team, you can't rebuke that. So, and to me, that's what the game is all about. It's about, are you winning along with your production? Because if you're just a guy out there putting up stats and it's not leading to wins, then what is it all for? You know, so I just, that's just my personal perspective on it.
Paul, he's pointing to the win value.
Well, I mean, you like he said, you can't dispute it, but when, and I don't disagree with the tread on the tires. I just think I wouldn't be surprised if their philosophy is get this year out of him with the tag, get next year out of him with the tag, and then you'll be at about the lifespan where things generally start to tail off for a big time running back. Also, this year you see what you got you get with Darrington Evans. And you kind of gauge where things are heading. I don't have a problem with like a 3 or 4 year deal that's keyed around those franchise tag numbers, where he gets more of that in his pocket right now, as an upfront bonus, as insurance against an injury, where you don't have to tiptoe around that. That to me is the hardest thing, and I'm totally sympathetic on that front. That he's only got 1 year, $22 million of insurance against if something bad happens. And that would be hanging over my head if I were Derrick Henry, and I'd be very uncomfortable with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, no matter how you structure it, I think they're going to wrap it around the franchise tag numbers. I think you got to be careful of making the player disgruntled. Given the fact, again, you know, where's their commitment to Derek? I know the markets are different in quarterbacks, corners, and defensive tackles. They just gave Tanny Hill a big deal. And, you know, and granted, he played well, but he does not have that same success without the emergence and the running and the leadership and the dominance of Derek Henry. And you can always go say, well, running backs don't last long or whatever. And I get all that. But Derek is in a unique situation, and I think his upside is higher than that. He doesn't have, again, the years of pounding on his back. He, you know, it's his history. He was with DeMarco Murray his first couple of years, didn't have a big year. Really, he's just now starting to go into his third season as a full starter, I believe. So when you factor all that in, I think they have to be creative and find a win-win and say, how do we, the Titans, we protect our years, given, you know, running backs over the history of running backs getting these big contracts and then not being able to fulfill it, and the production goes down, versus not having a disgruntled player who's the heart and soul of your team and not turning that off. Because you could say, okay, we'll see what this other guy does, but this completely changes the look and feel of your team. And you're really starting all over in terms of the identity of your team. So you got to be careful about that.
I lean towards the win-win conclusion that you're describing because he signed his franchise tender so quickly. Yeah. Normally a player that's disgruntled is not going to do that.
Right.
And it sounds like they're on good terms from a business side of things.
Yeah, and as they should be. And if they can continue to work through the summer toward a long-term deal that's creative, great. I'm not a big fan of running backs sitting out in the situation and not getting zero. It worked, did not work well for Le'Veon Bell, who could be on his way out of the New York Jets, given that stands and what he did with Pittsburgh. So he missed out on a full year salary because Eagle got involved, and he missed out on $10 million or $13 million of guaranteed money that you would have received and still been able to hit the market. So you got to be able to put your business hat on and take your helmet off for a moment and think about, you know, how you can maximize your value and maximize your playing ability to get more money out of this deal.
Eddie George with us. Coming up, we'll discuss the Titans draft, J.K. Dobbins to the Ravens, and we'll get to a broad question, broad discussion on sports returning across the country. We'll get Eddie's thoughts. Midday 180, we're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Eddie George with us. Been fun to have him back on the show today. We missed the Eddie George show in the fall, and can't wait for football season. Eddie, your thoughts on sports getting back to some normalcy. And it sounds like all of the major sports are focused on doing that in some way.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it across the board with golf. A golf schedule came out. Baseball looks like it may be coming back. Basketball, we don't know. Football. It's been tough without sports. I'm tired of watching the old games, baseball games, World Series. But I'll tell you what's been entertaining to watch, though. It's been the Last Dance series on ESPN. Michael Jordan and the Bulls still command everybody's attention the way they did in the 90s. I mean, it was like a watch party at our house. We would stop everything to watch 2 hours of that, and they did not disappoint. So that was very entertaining. But I think overall, sports is much needed. I think we got to get back to it, just for the morale of everybody else, just to get back to some sense of normalcy. And if it's safe to go to be outdoors and to be around people and to have social distancing and so forth, I think we should definitely get back to it as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we're headed down that path. You know, the news came out last night or today about Nashville looking to host, or they would welcome the idea of
That's
hosting
great.
NHL as a neutral site city, which is a great sign for the state of Tennessee and Davidson County with all of that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're headed down that path. Well, J.K. Dobbins, who we discussed at length on the show in the fall whenever we were talking college football and running backs going to the draft, whenever you saw he was selected by Baltimore, I thought about, well, here is the next layer of that offense to pair with Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson. But as a fellow Buckeye and someone who also hates the Ravens, what did you think?
Well, I hate the fact that he's a Raven, but I think the Ravens got an exceptional ball player in J.K. Dobbins. He can do so much for you, vastly underrated. I was shocked that he went that late, to be honest with you. I thought that he would have been second, the second running back taken or third running back taken. But it just, well, I was perplexed by, wow, these teams don't see the value that he brings to the table. Hands are fairly decent. Had a couple drops in the game against Clemson and really throughout the season that were like, man, he's got to be more consistent in that area. But in terms of being a dynamic game changer, great change of pace of a running back, he runs bigger than his actual size. He's hungry, plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's going to be an exceptional fit for the Baltimore Ravens and what they like to do, and being in just terms of route running, getting matchups, being a third down, but whatever you ask him to do, I think he'll do it. And he's wearing the number 27. So I can't knock that.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, right, from your perspective.
Right.
What'd you think of the Titans draft overall?
Paul,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask what you thought of Titans running back in the third round, Darrington Evans out of Appalachian State, who's going to take that Deion Lewis role, out of which the Titans need more than they got the last 2 years.
Well, honestly, I haven't seen a lot of tape on him. I haven't seen a lot of Appalachian State last year. Don't really know that much other than that he's considered a game breaker, a great change of pace guy for Derek. I was looking at more of a guy that kind of fits Derek, but I guess they can use another guy on their roster right now for that role to come in and hit between the tackles if need be. But overall, I think he's going to be an interesting addition to see how he's going to fit into this offense moving forward, because they really failed to find a role for Deion Lewis and the emergence of Derrick Henry. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work out. Maybe it'll be a certain package for him coming into camp. Maybe they're going to really emphasize and push the fact that he's going to be our third down guy, or he's going to come in and do some things in the passing game as they open things up. They can go five wide. He can come back in the backfield, run the football, so forth. So we'll have to wait and see what they do with him. But honestly, I don't know a lot about the kid.
Eddie George with us. Hey, final thoughts on the way out. I noticed you did like a Shark Tank type of event. It was you and Roger Saffold, where you took pitches.
Yeah.
Explain what that was like.
It was for the Entrepreneurial Center here in Nashville, EC, and they had a virtual pitch for various small businesses that are looking for capital, semi-mature businesses and mature businesses. And we had to listen to all their pitches. The winner got a $5,000 check going to their business. They were all like forward thinking, it was all geared toward how their businesses are impacted by COVID-19 and what they're doing for it. So there was, a filter replacement business, which was pretty interesting in my eyes. Non-sexy, but something that's needed now for homes, corporations, and so forth. There was one app in terms of having the ability to be seen by your doctors and having all your information there prior to that without having to set up filing out the paperwork and so forth. So it was really interesting to hear all of the pitches from different businesses and what they're doing, how they're changing, and what they're going to do with the money as moving forward. So the EC, we've had a great relationship through the years, and it was great to hear about the ideas that some people have out there in terms of their businesses and how they're shaping and shifting during COVID-19.
I think that's awesome. And, from your perspective, whenever you entered the league, you were very forward thinking, and it wasn't about the next paycheck. It was, okay, where do I want to be and set myself up for after my career? And now you're in a seat where you're hearing pitches, not just in this setting, but in other business settings, trying to get you to invest in companies. What's it like seeing that through and now listening to people pitch their ideas to you?
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's like, man,
I would want to take it would be hard to turn people away or good ideas away.
And every last one of them was an excellent idea. And in fact, I'm trying to get my wife aligned with a young lady who's focused on empowering women in entrepreneurship. And that's a platform that we're looking at, how to help women break through the entrepreneurial, I guess, challenges, the hurdles that they have to face in terms of getting their businesses' ideas off the ground and having them be heard. So it's great to be on the other side and listening to their ideas, how thoughtful they are in thinking them through, mm-hmm. from implementation to dollars to cost to growth to scalability, all of it, just all those factors in terms of how they're taking what's in their heart, their dream, and bringing that, making that a business idea. It's fascinating. And any way that you can figure out the help or be a part of that is also great too.
It's been a Titans legend week on the show, Paul, in a way. That's how I would describe it. We had Javon Kearse on yesterday. We do a Nashville sports retrospective on Tuesdays, and we took a look back at his 99 season, the Freaks jump into the league, which was outstanding.
Man, he was awesome to watch. I saw something on Twitter where they showed the 99 season, his record-breaking rookie year where it still stands, the sack record. And he was just a dominant force, could not be blocked, fast off the edge, just a problem. I mean, he would not only get the stack, get the strip sack, pick up the fumble, and then score. He was just a one-man wrecking show, and it was awesome to watch him play, man. He was just
how
awesome.
Quickly did you know that this guy is the missing special ingredient for us, and he's going to throw us? This is what we needed to go from 8-8 to big time legit.
The moment that he stepped into the facility and he did his conditioning test,
ceiling tile.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that when he jumped and hit the ceiling tile, when he did his conditioning test and his first day of practice, we knew that he was going to be something special. And he was a difference maker in us going from average to the next level of being elite. It was without a doubt.
People forget that he had the fastest, not the fastest, he tied Deion Sanders. Sanders ran that 40, and then they also timed the first 10 yards. Javon was just as fast as Deion was in the first 10 yards, comparing combine numbers. That's nuts to me.
And they're both from Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes, same high school.
Something in the water in those areas. But, yeah, no, Javon was – he still looks like he can go out and put on the pads.
He joined us from the gym.
Of course. That's where he lives. That's where he lives. But to play with players like Javon – and you look back on his body of work, you look at like his rookie year, and you're just like, man, I'm so thankful that I was able to witness that and not take that for granted. Because that team, the guys on that team, I mean, it was just a special group of guys, athletic, talented, hungry, disciplined, focused. I mean, it was just a special era that I'm proud to be a part of. And Javon, man, I used to shake my head. Me and Samori would just laugh because he would do things that just seemed normal. And I'm like, he didn't even realize what he just did. He's doing it against grown men, you know, taking them by the throat, picking them up, putting them down, picking up the ball with one hand and scoring. It's just, and it comes back to the sideline like it's nothing. Like, it's crazy. It was crazy.
Eddie George has been our guest. Always great to catch up with you, man. And
yes, sir.
Hopefully we can hang out soon in person. That's the goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you guys take care and wash your hands.
Yeah.
So glad about your dad.
Yeah, that's great news.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll chat soon.
Take care.
All right.
Eddie George has been our guest. Stay tuned. Reed's got the headlines of the day around the corner. Doug Matthews, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.